So let's review. The Gemara continues the discussion of Ha'ishk ben mitzvah, Pater ben mitzvah, Tanya, Amr b'chananya ben Akavya. Kaisvi svarm, tfilin, umezuzos, hein b'tagarein, b'tagari tagarein, and mechir tchelis, those who write Torah scrolls, tfilin and mezuzos, sell tchelis for tzitzis and their merchants, peturim mikol mitzvahs amurz b'tayra, are pater from all mitzvahs of the Torah, as Rabbi Yitzchak Luli taught. Ha'ishk ben mitzvah, Pater ben mitzvah. Someone involved in one mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah. The Gemara next cites two brises which utilize another exemption. The pasuk says, "Basukis teishu shivas yam." Chazal explained this pasuk to teach teishu ke'en tadur. Rashi explains, "Basukis teishu ke'en yeshivas beisai." You shall dwell in the sukkah in the same manner as you live in your house. Kashem shakala shana in the nimna malachas b'derech beschera kach kol yemei sachag she'enu yamtiv lo yitzricha akaz of lemnoya. Just as one does not refrain from leaving the house to travel for business, for a job or other need, one need not refrain from leaving the sukkah for these matters. Therefore, when engaged in these activities on Chol HaMoed, he is pater from sitting in the sukkah. The Brises cite two examples. Holchei Drachim, people traveling for business, or Shomer Ha'ir, people who guard the city, are exempt from sukkah during the period of the day in which they are engaged in these activities. If they do this only by Yom, but turn min ha-sukkah by Yom ha-chayav malayla. They are pater during the day and obligated at night, as they would normally be home at night. Balayla, peturim them a sukkah balayla v'chayav mayayim. If they travel or are on guard at night, they are pater at night and obligated by day. Bayim u'balayla, peturim in a sukkah bein mayayim v'vim alayla. If they travel or are on guard both during the day and at night, they are likewise completely exempt, as they would be away from home day and night. For example, shemir ginis or fardesim, peturim bein mayayim v'vim alayla. Those who guard gardens and vineyards are pater day and night because they stay there all the time. However, the Gemara asks, "V'liavdi sukkah hasim v'leisvu." Why can't they make a sukkah out there? There are two reasons why they cannot, and are therefore not obligated to make a sukkah there in the fields. Abaya says, "Teishu ke'in tadur." You shall dwell in the sukkah in the same manner as you live in your house. Rashi here introduces an additional understanding of teishu ke'in tadur. Kederch shu dar kol hashana bebeisai. Hiskikasi tara lanich dirasai, valadur kam besukah, imitaisa, vekle tashmishai, umatsaisa, vezeinu yachal avin sham nehatarach. He must be able to live in the sukkah as comfortably as he does in his home, which is impossible out in the field. Rava says, Pirtsa kairu laganov. A breach is an invitation to a robber. Less security encourages robbers. If the guards were in a sukkah, their vision would be blocked by the walls of the sukkah, and robbers would take advantage of this. The difference between these answers is if he were only guarding Kari de Peri, a pile of fruit. Rava would say he is obligated in sukkah since he could guard the pile wall in the sukkah by placing the pile at the opening of the fourth wall. Abai would say he's still potter since he would not have the same comfort level as in his home. The Gemara now elaborates on that which the previous Mishnah taught. Chaylin u'misham shehen, peturim in the sukkah. People who are sick and those that take care of them are exempt from the mitzvah of the sukkah. The Gemara also discusses the exemption of mitzvah or patur min ha-sukkah. And Rashi explains, Shah sukkah mitzvah rasai. Staying in the sukkah causes him distress. For example, there's a foul odor there, or it's too hot or too cold. Now, the exemptions of chayla and mitzvah are both based on teishu kein tadur, because they would leave their house for another place where they would find more comfort. However, there is a difference. Chayla hu misham shav peturin. Mitzvah hu patur misham shav lai. Whereas the attendants of the chayla are exempt, the attendants of the mitzvah are not exempt. There are two explanations. The attendants of the chayla are doing a mitzvah, and therefore exempt because of ha'isik b'mitzvah pata ben mitzvah. But the attendants of the mitzvah are not considered to be doing a mitzvah. The attendants of the chayla are exempt because of teishu ke'in tiduru. People will leave their home to attend to a chayla, but they would not leave their home to attend to a mitzvah. The Gemara next discusses the final part of the Mishnah. We may eat and drink casually outside the sukkah, when it's not a set meal. Abai defines achilas arai as kidetoyim bar beirav v'ay lekala. The amount a yeshiva student would eat right before he goes to the morning lecture. Rashi says this is a mouthful and a quick drink. Taisa explains that a mouthful is the equivalent of an egg. The Gemara proceeds to discuss sleeping in the sukkah. Taraban, eichlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Although we may eat achilas arai out of the sukkah, we may not take a nap outside of the sukkah. My timer, because it might lead to a deep sleep. Rav Amar, in Kevel Lashina, there is no minimum to define sleeping as a regular sleep. Even a nap is considered sleeping according to halacha. Regarding tefillin, the Gemara cites three brises with different rulings in varying circumstances. The first brise, which states, Yashin Adam mitfillin shinis aroi, avaloshin is keva, is referring to where demandchi bereshe. He's wearing the tefillin. Therefore, deep sleep is forbidden because shemi yafiach bam, he might pass gas, but that wouldn't happen during a short nap. The second brise, which states, Bein keva bein aroi, is referring to where the parasudra ilovei. He removed the tefillin and covered them with a cloth. Therefore, even a deep sleep is permitted. The third brise, which states, Loi keva v'loi aroi, is referring to where denokat lehu biyadei. He's holding the tefillin in his hand, therefore even a short nap is forbidden because he might drop them. The length of a nap is the amount of time it takes to walk 100 amas. The next Mishnah is a continuation of the last halacha taught in the previous Mishnah. We may eat and drink casually outside the sukkah. Our Mishnah teaches, one may act stringently, and it's not considered haughty, as we see in the following incident. Zok the Mishnah. They once brought a cooked dish before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai for him to taste it. And they once brought before Gamliel two dates and a pail of water. And they instructed their talmidim to bring it up to the sukkah. In both cases, it was merely a snack, which is not required to be eaten in the sukkah, al pi halacha, but they were machmer. On the other hand, when Rav Tzadik was given a quantity of bread less than the size of a kebeya, he acted leniently with regard to three halachas. Not le b'mapa, he merely wrapped his hands but did not wash them. V'achal echutz l'sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah. V'le berach acharav, and he didn't recite berachas hamazon after eating it. The Gemara asks, from Rav Tzadik we see that he acted the way he did only because the bread was less than a kebeya, implying that a share of a kebeya must be eaten in the sukkah. This would seem to contradict Rav Yosef and Abayi, who said that even an egg's volume does not require a sukkah. The Gemara responds, perhaps this measurement was only mentioned to teach that less than a kebeya does not require netil sedayim nor brichas hamazon, while a full kebeya does require both washing and benching. However, regarding sukkah, perhaps Rav Yosef and Abayi are correct that even a kebeya does not require a sukkah.